Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Pete Alonso is at 200. Pete Alonso is 29 years old. So, I did a little math.
Okay.
Things can get scary when I do a little bit of math. But, hear me out here. I am going to say that this is an overreaction that Pete Alonso won't reach the 500 home run club.
Fly ball, onto the track, at the wall, it's gone! Home run!
Turns on a ball, deep right field, and gone!
What a game, what a moment. What is up, my friends? Welcome into Flippin' Bats. It is Monday, and on Monday, we do power rankings. We got power rankings coming. We got team of the week coming. Player of the week. Also, Pete Alonso reached the 200 home run mark already in his career, but can he get to 500 homers? We're going to talk about that, break it all down, and see if it is possible for him to get there. Aaron Judge, really slow start to the season, but is he healthy? Is it a swing problem? We'll talk about that. George Kirby doing some historic things on the mound. Mariners are playing good baseball. We'll talk about them. But Alex, I think the biggest news of the week is that Nike basically admitted fault in their jerseys and has decided to go back to the old jerseys.
It's about damn time.
These new jerseys are getting out of there at the latest, the beginning of next year. But they admitted that, you know, maybe some things didn't need to be changed. That was their words. Some things just didn't need to be changed, and we may have done a little too much here.
I mean, it legit looked like a wet t-shirt contest when guys were sweating in the shirts, and then like kind of spicy pant photos that
were showing a little too much.
Yeah, I know. The double whammy. Yeah, okay, that's good. That was just like, really?
Yeah.
You guys think this looks good? Who approved this?
Who approved this?
And did an athlete actually try to work out in these or play baseball in these before every single player was wearing them?
My favorite part was that the gray uniforms just didn't match.
No.
The gray tops and gray bottoms just were not the same color. So good news there. Good news that it's going back the old way. What about a good weekend?
I was like, speaking of color, you look a little toasty over there.
Yeah.
What happened? We forget how to wear a hat?
I might as well just tell the people at home or in the car or wherever they listen what has happened to me over the last, you know, it's happened a couple times now to me. Anyway, went up to Ojai and Ventura this weekend. It was very sunny. Went on a hike. Very high, really close to the sun. I was wearing my backwards hat like I am currently, exactly like I am currently. And I don't know if you'll be able to see it, but I got myself a tan line right across the middle of my forehead from where it looks terrible.
Do you know how you could have helped that?
There's a little makeup
wearing
on that,
a hat like you're supposed to wear a hat, protecting your face, maybe putting some sunscreen on.
I did have sunscreen on.
I did. Wear a hat like you're supposed to wear it when you're in the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks better backwards, I think.
Yeah. I mean, now it does. When you're inside, it'd be a little weird.
Yeah. What did you do this weekend?
Oh, man. I did a lot of stuff. I don't know if you saw, but the Rams set up like a really rad, like they built an entire football field on the beach in my hometown in Hermosa Beach. And they did like a live draft thing there. So it was like the South Bay Surfer Awards this weekend, and I have a dear friend who got inducted who's battling ALS, so it was, like, really special seeing his documentary. Shout out to Greg.
Shout out, Greg.
Yeah. And then just the Rams took over Hermosa Beach. It was so cool.
Cool.
It was so cool to see. So a lot of outside, a lot of community stuff this weekend, and now we're here.
Now we get to talk about baseball, and there was a lot going on.
And you know what we're going to start with?
An overreaction?
Yeah, Overreaction Monday, guys. If you're new to this segment, which if you're here, probably not, I'm going to give Ben some statements, and he's going to say whether he thinks they are an overreaction or not. So let's start with our first statement in Overreaction Monday, and that is Pete Alonso will not reach the 500 home run club.
Woo! Congratulations to Pete Alonso for hitting his 200th home run, by the way. Fourth fewest games to 200 homers of everybody of everybody that has ever hit 500 homers. It's taken him the fourth fewest amount of games to get there. So there's been 28 players are currently in the 500 home run club. All right.
Yeah.
Pete Alonso is at 200. Pete Alonso is 29 years old. So I did a little math.
Okay.
Things can get scary when I do a little bit of math, but hear me out here. I am going to say that this is an overreaction that Pete Alonso won't reach the 500 home run club. That's a bit of like almost feels like a double negative.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is he's going to get
it. He's going to reach it.
I think he does reach it. Here's why. The main reason why is the dude was put on earth to hit home runs. That's Pete Alonso. Is he going to hit you 300? Is he going to hit 300 with 50 home runs a year? No. But he might hit you 50 home runs a year while hitting somewhere between 220 and 240.
I mean, right out of the gates, his rookie season, he was the MLB home run leader.
Yep.
And rookie of the year.
Yep. Rookie year, hit 53 homers, an all-time rookie record. So, look, I do think he has a really good chance to get there. He hits a home run every 13.17 ABs. That's the fifth best all-time.
Name those names above him.
Bonds? Let me guess.
Okay.
Let me guess.
Okay.
I already said one.
Well,
Bonds is an easy one.
Okay.
I'm gonna try.
You don't
know?
You haven't seen this?
I have not seen this.
Okay, let's go.
The names in front of him: Barry Bonds.
Yep.
Babe Ruth.
Yep.
Hank Aaron.
Nope.
Okay. So there's three more in front of him.
Yeah.
Mark McGuire.
Current, one past.
One current?
Yeah.
A current player.
Current player.
That hits.
Think of like a strong home run hitter right now who may have broken a record a season ago or two ago. Was it two seasons ago now?
A season ago or two.
Also plays in New York.
Is Aaron Judge?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And old time guy now?
You want me to give it to you?
Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa.
Yep.
I'll go
McGuire.
Mark McGuire. McGuire?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Close.
All right, wow.
That was good, not bad.
That's a good list to be on.
Right? It's a great list.
Wow. Already fourth in Mets history. So, look, he's played just over five seasons, right? This is his sixth year. It just started. So, let's say five seasons, five plus, he's at 200
home
runs.
Here's the math.
Five more years puts him at 34 years old.
Okay.
And five more years of this puts him at 400 home runs. That's at 34 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, if he plays to 37, 38, 37,
yeah,
he can get there.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a guy that's, you know, it's not like a massive part of his game is like speed and versatility.
He hits home runs.
He's put on this earth to hit home runs, win home run derbies. I think he can get there. I absolutely think that he can get there and become the 29th member, if nobody else gets there before him.
Yeah.
29th member of the 500 club.
Okay, so question, because he's a free agent this offseason. Do you think he's on the Mets next year? And where he ends up, does that affect his chances of getting to 500?
I don't foresee a world in which Pete Alonso is not on the Mets next year. And in my opinion, I think Pete Alonso is a Met for his career. I think it's just the feeling I get. I think he loves playing there. He's vocalized that. The organization has vocalized that they want him there. David Stearns has come in and vocalized that he wants him there. I mean, everybody, it appears, wants Pete Alonso to be a Met of the future and for the future. So I think he's in the blue and orange next year and going forward.
And I mean, it's only looking up for the Mets right now. They have a lot of young prospects. Yeah. They got a haul last season when they decided to sell everybody. So not a bad place to be for the next 5 years.
Yeah. So
future's bright.
I think he stays. And look, I mean, we're talking about if he keeps up the same production, which has been incredible for his career, for a long time, he can get to 500. And I'm not, I like Pete. Played against him. I know him well. I'm going to root for him in this. 500 home runs is a lot. He's going to get over 400. He's gonna be the all-time Mets home run leader, which is really cool to say. And I'm going to bank on him getting to 500. So I'll say yes. I'll say he does get to the 500 home run club.
Okay. Well, let's move on to our next overreaction, but talk about the other New York home run hitter. Aaron Judge isn't healthy. Is that an overreaction?
Yes. I think it's an overreaction. I do know we've talked about it and we've heard like this, it's going to be something he has to manage, the toe injury that he had last year. It's going to be something he has to manage for his entire career. And then the injury in spring training, he didn't exactly have a full spring like he probably would have liked. But I think it's an overreaction to say he isn't healthy, as in that being the reason that he's hitting 211 with six homers and 18 RBIs. Does he feel 100%? No, but who does in a baseball season? You're playing every single day. Something's going to be bothering you and nagging you. So look, I guess the technical answer to the question of is Aaron Judge healthy? Sure, maybe he's not. But I don't believe that's the reason for his struggles this year. When I watch Aaron Judge play, and might I add, over the last couple of days, he's playing great. He has two homers. He hit one Saturday. He hit one Sunday. He's got five RBIs in the last two games. He's got five hits. He's five for his last eight. So this could be him turning it around. But when I see these numbers that if you're watching, you can see on the screen, 211 average, six homers, 18 RBIs, and a 777 OPS, I see what I've seen when I watch him. And that is a hitter that isn't as selective as he was in his MVP season. And his pitch recognition looks a bit off to me. That slider low and away, that when Aaron Judge is struggling, that's the pitch that gets him. And he was just swinging at that more. This was back to pre-MVP years when he put up home run numbers, but his average wasn't quite the same. And then he went into that offseason saying, I am going to figure out how to walk more and how to stop swinging at more pitches out of the zone. And he did that.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of this year, and it could very well be because that injury in spring didn't allow him to get the amount of at bats he wanted, the oblique injury, but maybe it's starting to turn, but I would say it's more that for me. It's his pitch recognition just hadn't been there so far this year.
I mean, his strikeout rate is the highest it's been since 2019. And it really just hasn't felt like we've seen the MVP style Aaron Judge since his injury, since that toe injury at Dodger Stadium, running into the fence. And then he's obviously come out and said something he's going to be dealing with. Then the oblique injury. So it hasn't felt like we have seen a full, healthy Aaron Judge yet.
Agree.
At all.
But agree.
Yeah.
But I do see more in his struggles than just, I wouldn't just chalk it up to that. I have seen more.
Getting into midseason, he's doing a little bit of spring training at the start of the season.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, he did play in spring, but not at the end. So it's almost like you ramp up and then you.
So now he's ramping back up again.
Ramp it back down. If you ramp up, what do you do down?
You cool down.
Ramp up, cool down.
Ramp up, chill out.
Slide down.
Ramp
up, slide down. I don't know.
But cool down. It's like, cool down, just rest.
We'll
figure it out. Okay, let's move over to the West Coast for our final Overreaction Monday statement. George Kirby will finish with more starts than walks.
So if you're just hearing you ask that question, you would think, well, what?
What do you mean?
Okay, so he's started this year's 2024 stats. He's got six games started and only four walks. So you think, wow. That's a pretty incredible start to the year. George Kirby really isn't walking a lot of guys. But let's dig a level deeper. Let's ramp it up a little bit, if you will. In his career, 62 games started and only 45 walks. That is a crazy statistic. That is incredible. So, to start this year, six games started, four walks. He's not even on his usual pace. This is going to separate even more.
Yeah.
He's going to get up to that 10 start mark after the next four starts and maybe only walk another guy. So I'm going to say this is not an overreaction.
Okay.
Not an overreaction. George Kirby will finish with more starts than walks this season, which is, that stat to me is one of the coolest stats in baseball.
It is. What also is kind of really crazy is it was just kind of under 2 weeks ago that we had the Mariners on our most concerning team, right? They had three pitchers with an ERA over 5.75. And now, like, they're first in the AL West. They've won four straight series. They're second in ERA, first in WHIP. They're clicking kind of on all cylinders, both like at the plate and on the mound. Do you see the Mariners, this version of the Mariners, making the playoffs?
This is the version of the Mariners that I believed in from the beginning of the year when I said, look, this team is very talented. They can be a sleeper team in the American League. And if they can get into the playoffs with this rotation, don't be surprised if they can do some damage. And by that, I mean, like, don't be surprised if this team is like a shocker to get to the World Series type of damage.
I mean, I had them winning the AOS.
Because of that rotation, yeah. Right? We weren't saying these things because of the powerhouse lineup.
No, they got Julio.
Exactly. The lineup leaves a bit to the imagination. And mm-hmm. I know Mariners fans get frustrated when, you know, they'll play a lot of 2-1 ball games mm-hmm. and they'll play a lot of games where pitching will hold their own. But at the end of the night, they put up zero runs and it's just a frustrating watch. And it is sometimes frustrating watching the Mariners because their rotation is so unbelievably good and the offense just doesn't step up sometimes. But this pitching staff will keep them in every game over the course of the entire season. Again, there's 162 games. There's going to be some duds, but by and large, 1 through 5 in that rotation, they're going to run out a stud that's going to be able to keep you in the game. And that's why I believe in this team to be able to make the playoffs because that rotation can do that. So as you just said, Alex, second in ERA.
Yeah.
After, was it 2-3 weeks ago?
It was 10 days ago. It was under 2 weeks ago.
They were on the top most disappointing teams so far this season.
Yeah.
Now fast forward, that rotation is second in all of baseball in ERA. And this isn't in the span since then. This is how good they've been since then has gotten them to second in all of baseball in ERA over the course of the full season. First in WHIP, second in opponent batting average, and sixth in strikeouts. Starting pitchers have given up 17 runs in 16 starts. That is unbelievable.
That's
great. So the Mariners can make the postseason because of how good their pitching is. Julio's starting to heat up a little bit. He's hitting over 270 now. He did finally get on the board with a homer. He hasn't hit one in a while. He has one, but he's heating up a little bit. The pitching staff is where they need to be. So this is why I liked the Mariners. And now they're sitting there at the top of the AL West. I have no reason to go against them.
I had Mariners. I ended the season top of the AL West. The bottom.
Did you have that?
No. I don't think anyone did. Weird. But speaking of the Mariners, it is time to get to our power rankings. And they, showing up at number 10, they were not ranked last season. The Mariners in this week's power rankings.
You said they weren't ranked last season. They were ranked last season. They weren't ranked last week.
Did I say last week? Did I say season? I meant week.
Dang.
Thank you.
Really throwing shade on them there.
That was a good catch.
First time, is it? I think they started the year.
They were on. They've been on this season.
Okay, but not in a little while because.
Yeah, I think it was like before the season started when you did like the 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, because 2 weeks ago they were on our worst list. And now here they are.
They're all over the place.
They've won four straight series. They've won 7 of their last 10. The pitching is unbelievable. And that's what is going to carry the Seattle Mariners to the playoffs is their pitching. And they're here at number 10 to start this week's power rank.
At number 9, up one spot and looking good this year, the Kansas City Royals.
They were not in last year's power rankings, but they are in this week's power rankings again. The Royals are here at number 9. 5-5 in their last 10 games, just kind of playing decent baseball. Yeah. 17-12 this year. Here's what I will say. The Twins were the heavy favorite to win that division. The Twins have won 7 games in a row. It was really, really bad there for the Twins, and they are starting to play really well. This division can't be a division that if you want to win it and take it away from the Twins, you can just play 5-5 baseball over the course of 10 games.
Yeah, it's
they
not gonna
have
cut
to
it.
Be, they have to keep the pedal to the metal and keep it going.
Yeah. Good one.
I don't know why that.
The pedal to the metal. Let's go. Moving up at number 8. There's same spot. These next couple are kind of same, but the Cubs.
Yeah, I like the Cubs. 7 of their last 10. Good start to the season for them. They are 17-10. Imanaga's been great for that rotation. They are not where they are without him.
What a start to the season.
The frustrating part for the Cubs is Belly was just starting to heat up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was starting to rake and ended up running into the wall out there in center field. And I don't know if anybody told him, but it's brick, and you don't really want to run into it. And he ended up, like, damaging 2 ribs, a couple fractures in those ribs. Not good. Going to miss some time. But they're still playing pretty good baseball without him.
That's good. At number 7, also in the same spot, playing pretty good baseball, the Brewers.
Yep, kept them right here. Brewers are also 17-10, have won 6 of their last 10 games, so just kind of kept them where they are. Nothing great, nothing too bad.
All right. Number 6, also in the same spot, the Guardians.
The Guardians are having such a good start to the year. It is remarkable where they are, as in they are 19-9.
First in the AL Central.
Anybody saw it coming. Uh-uh. I mean, Josh Naylor has been good for them. The rotation has been good, even without Shane Bieber. I do have concerns about Tristan McKenzie as watching his last start. And Tristan McKenzie was a mid to upper 90s guy, and he's now sitting like 90-92 in that range. So I'm not a doctor. I'm just an avid watcher of baseball, and I've seen Tristan McKenzie before, and it's something looks a little off with the velocity, and it has for the last couple of starts. So
for the Guardians to be good,
and I wouldn't have said this at the beginning of the year. I think I understood the Guardians a little bit, but for the Guardians to continue to be good, they need Tristan McKenzie, and he looked good his last outing. The velo is just not there. So hopefully it's next start. It comes back, but Guardians are here, number 6.
All right, let's move into the top 5. At number 5, down 2 spots, but still leading the AL East, the Yankees.
Yeah, I moved them down a couple spots. They're 19-10 solely because they split a series with the A's. The A's aren't a great baseball team. I felt they should have won that series. They've won 6 of their last 10 games. They didn't move down 2 necessarily because of them playing poorly, but they definitely moved down at least 1 because of the team we have at number 4.
Yeah, who are heating up and staying at that same spot, the Phillies.
The Phillies are heating up. They have won 8 of their last 10. They have won 4 in a row entering this new week. They are my World Series prediction out of the National League because of how talented they are top to bottom in the lineup, top to bottom in the rotation. Bullpen's got some dominant arms back there, so Phillies have been playing better and better and better after a sluggish start to the year, but now they're 19-10 and here at number 4.
At number 3, back up 2 spots after a strong road trip, the Dodgers.
Good road trip for them. Freddie has heated up in that 3-hole, which I think has been huge.
Yeah.
Mookie and Shohei have been
so hot out of the gates.
Above and beyond what you could have asked for them, but Freddie has been not being Freddie, which is hitting like .298 on the year. Now he's getting hot. He had 400, over 400 on the week and climbed up over that 300 mark. So good to see Freddie heating up. That lineup is scary. Maybe a little depth in the lineup answer with Páez out there, the young guy, the top prospect for them. Dude's just hitting lasers all over the field. Couple homers already. So maybe he can be an answer to that bottom of the lineup struggles that we have seen so far. Where are you turning to? Is it Gavin Lux? Is it Chris Taylor? Is it Kike Hernandez? Well, their young prospect has come up and been huge for them at the bottom of that lineup. So they're up here at number 3.
At number 2, staying at number 2, the Orioles.
Orioles are staying put. They are 17-10, and we're going to get ahead of it. People are going to be mad.
Yep.
People are going to be mad. How are the Yankees in first place? And the Orioles are behind them, and they also lost a series.
I mean,
to
they're
the
both
A's.
6-4 in their last 10 games.
Here's why. Here's why. I think the Orioles are a better team than the Yankees. And that's
top
why I
bottom.
Have them higher in the power rankings. Nah. If you got a problem with that, make your own power rankings. I got the Orioles at number two. I
think this is my power rankings, and I'm going to do how I want to do it.
Send me your power rankings. We'll put
Ooh,
this out. We'll
okay.
put a graphic out, as we do every week, on Instagram,
yeah.
on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call
it's
it.
Twitter.
We put out a graphic. Let me put your own graphic
yeah.
together. Show me your design.
Come at me,
bro. Your top 10, all
Come
of that.
Come at me, bro.
But I think the Orioles are a very good baseball team. They're 17-10 and staying right here at number two.
Which leaves the Braves sitting strong still at number one.
Yeah, they're staying here. They're playing. If I could move them up, I would. That's how good they've been playing lately. They're 19-7. They've won 8 of their last 10 games, top to bottom of that lineup. Dominance all around. So no surprise at the very top. The Atlanta Braves round out this week's top 10, which means Mariners entering the top 10. Again, you got the Royals, the Cubs, the Brewers, the Guardians, the Yankees, Phillies, Dodgers, Orioles, and the Atlanta Braves are the top 10.
Looks good.
Thanks.
Let's move on to Team of the Week, you guys. And we're starting off with a guy who is coming off some huge Flippin' Bats guest luck. Will Smith behind the plate.
I don't know how many times I need to say it, but if you are a player
yes.
and want to play good baseball,
mm-hmm.
come on the show.
Yeah.
It is for years,
mm-hmm.
this has been the case. And everybody that listens, I know, knows this.
Like, it happens.
I get messages all the time like, hey, can you bring so-and-so? Can you bring the yeah. whole Detroit Tigers lineup on your show?
They need some
please.
Hits. We need some of that flipping
all the time.
Luck.
And Will Smith came on and was the guest last week. If you haven't listened to that, go do it. But he did come on. And then the night that he was interviewed,
yeah.
went had like 5 knocks in the game. It was unbelievable.
Yep.
He hit .417 on the week, 6 RBIs, 17 total bases, and a 1.153 OPS on the week. So he is my catcher.
All right, moving up to first base, Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah, this was a tough one.
Okay.
As I said, Freddie Freeman did have a good week over at first base, but it was the power numbers for me for Rizzo over at first base. And it's really good to see out of him. The great start to last year and then the unfortunate ending for it with the concussion and all of that. And then this year starting off. And I just like seeing Anthony Rizzo be hot at the plate.
Yeah.
And he was this week, .308. 3 homers, slugged .654. So I put him at first base with those power numbers.
Moving over to second base, Edward Julian.
I have been beating the Edward Julian drum since the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah,
and
you
to
have.
See him come up and have success this year, it wasn't there to start. He was struggling. But I believed this guy is a stud. And you can just see it when you watch him play baseball. .417 on the week. 3 homers, 7 RBIs, and a 1.417 OPS for the hot swinging Edward mm-hmm. Julian and the hot team.
Yeah.
The Minnesota Twins winning 7 in a row. So he's at second base.
Speaking of hot at third base, he's on a hell of a hot streak. Alec Bohm.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He might not be playing a great defensive first base because I watched him miss a ball. That was not great the other day, but put him back over at third base and let him hit.
Yeah.
.567 on the week with 9 RBIs, 27 total bases, and a 1.481 OPS. We'll just reiterate that first number.
Yeah.
.567
yeah.
on the week. He's
yep.
at third base.
All right, shortstop finally making his way on to team of the week. Could have been here last week. Gunnar Henderson.
Did Gunnar Henderson have as good of a week as he did last week? No. But is he on team of the week this week and not last week? Yes. And that is because Trey Turner was great last week.
Yeah.
And Gunnar was really good again this week. .360, 3 homers, slugged .880, and a 1.273 OPS. Shout out Gunnar Henderson. It has just been, this month has
yeah.
been.
Yeah. Great
really,
start
really
to the
good.
Season.
Yes, great start to the year.
All right, moving to the outfield. Now, remember, this is just 3 outfielders, not in any specific order or position. First up, Detroit's Mark Canha.
Yes, Mark Canha has been a big, big addition for that Tigers lineup just because he's a guy that is actually hitting in the lineup, which is great.
Yeah.
435 average, 2 homers, 6 RBIs, slugged 1,300 on the week. So Mark Canha is my first of 3 outfielders.
Your second outfielder. Now, he had some weird plays around the bases this week, but hitting well, Joe Adell.
If by weird plays you mean it is, cover your eyes when Joe Adell is on the bases because it looks like your local last place Little League team out there. That's how bad he's been on the bases. But at the plate, much better. Not your local last place Little League team. 438, 2 homers, 5 RBIs, and an OPS of 1.425 on the week. That will get you on Team of the Week.
All right, wrapping up the outfield, Alex Verdugo.
Just as we all suspected, an outfield of Mark Canha, Joe Adell, and Alex Verdugo on Team of the Week. But that's who we got this week because these guys raked. Alex Verdugo hit 409, 2 homers, 8 RBIs, and a 1.165 OPS. So again, my outfield, Mark Canha, Joe Adell, and Alex Verdugo.
Moving to designated hitter, who is off to a smoking hot start to the season, Shohei Ohtani.
Yes, another great week. Exit velo was like averaged over 100 on the week. He did hit 308 on the week, bringing down his season batting average, which is crazy to think about. 308, 3 home runs, 7 RBIs, a 1.149 OPS. Seriously, every single ball that Shohei hit this week just felt like it was coming off the bat at 120 miles an hour. It was crazy to see. And really good week. He's my DH.
All right, starting pitcher, the man of the week on the mound. I think everyone can agree. George Kirby.
We talked about him. We talked about the rotation. Got a win on the mound, pitched 12 innings, didn't give up an earned run, struck out 19 guys, 7 hits, 2 walks. He's my starting pitcher.
And your relief pitcher, the A's, Mason Miller. His stuff is nasty.
Yeah, so I want to talk about Mason Miller
because
we're not going to talk a lot about the Oakland A's this year. But if you don't watch a lot of the Oakland A's, I don't blame you. But there's one name that you need to know and you need to learn, and it is Mason Miller. This guy throws 104 miles an hour. 104 miles an hour. His fastball is electric. He's got nasty slider. I think right now Mason Miller is the most dominant pitcher in the game of baseball.
Whoa.
I watched him talk the other day. He was talking about back-to-back strikeouts against the Yankees of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, and he was talking about those at-bats. It was just really cool getting inside of his brain because he was talking about, I started him away, then I came in and I missed, and then I went up and tried to challenge him up, and luckily he swung and missed. I'm like, luckily he swung and missed. He threw it 103 miles an hour.
Yeah. Pretty hard to hit,
even if you're Juan Soto. And then he was talking to Aaron Judge. He's like, just started him with fastball away. That's my best pitch. And they showed it. There's a video, they were showing the overlay of it while he was talking. He's like, yeah, that's my best pitch. Just starting him with a fastball on the outside corner. And it was 104 on the outside corner. Like, yeah, that's the best pitch in baseball. And then he came up and in on Aaron Judge. And he's like, yeah, he's got a bigger strike zone. So wanted to go up and in and kind of tied him up there. It was just really cool.
I love
Mason
that behind
Miller's
the scenes,
the most
like
dominant
thought
pitcher
process.
In baseball. And he is my closer on Team of the Week. 3 1/3 innings, 3 saves, 8 strikeouts, 0 earned runs, only 1 hit, and 0 walks, which I also love about him. He's got great command as well. Player of the Week time. Of all the, well, we'll go around the
give
field.
A little recap.
So Will Smith behind the plate, friend of the pod.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Rizzo over at first. Edward Julian at second. Alec Bohm at third. Gunnar Henderson, friend of the pod at short. Mark Canha, Joe Adell, and Alex Verdugo in the outfield. Shohei Ohtani, friend of the pod.
Oh, friend of, we've DH. Had him on. He gives us
absolutely
hugs.
Friend of the pod. Then you got George Kirby on the mound, starting pitcher, and my closer on Team of the Week is Mason Miller.
All right, who's your player of the week?
Yeah, my player of the week is George Kirby.
Yeah.
What an unbelievably dominant week on the mound. And after a start to the year that was less than ideal, he has turned it around to be as dominant as I think I imagined. I think Alex imagined. I think everybody that believes in the Mariners and is a Mariners fan thinks this guy can be an ace of a staff kind of guy. 12 innings pitched. With 19 strikeouts, punched out 14 guys the other night, 0 earned runs on the week. I had to go with a pitcher. It's not normally a starting pitcher on Team of the Week. Last one, though, was Ronel Blanco. And if you remember, he threw a no-hitter to become the player of the week. But This week, it is George Kirby. Pure dominance, dare I say, perfection on the mound, though not a perfect game, but pretty close to perfection to become my player of the week. Alex, who's your player of the week?
My player of the week is Phillies Alec Bohm. This man is on fire right now. He's got a 12-game hit streak going on, which is the longest active streak in the majors. Right now, he's seeing beach balls, you guys. His batting average is .567 with 9 RBI, 1.481 OPS, and 27 total bases. And he is a huge help and reason that this Phillies team is on the hot streak that they are. And they took the series this weekend in San Diego. We heard Padres manager say, this guy Bohm, man, helps that he's one of the best right-handed hitters in the game right now. He's seeing and he's swinging it real well. He is hot.
12-game hit streak.
Red
you know
hot.
What hearing that makes me think about?
What?
I would have told you a few years ago that Joe DiMaggio's record of 56 consecutive games is one of those records that we talk about in the unbreakable record that could possibly be broken. I thought there was a chance. The more we see the unless the rules change,
yeah.
I think 56 consecutive games. Like the
What's
leader,
the, next closest?
The leader
That's
in baseball
insane.
Right now is at 12.
Yes,
and he's hit .567 on the week. 56. Somebody has
That's
to get
insane.
A hit 57 games in a row. And as unless the rules change, which is always something that can happen over the course of time, that is crazy to think about. So. I like that. I like your player of the week. You know what next week is?
Team of the month.
Team of the month. Our
player
first
of the
team
month.
And player of the month. So we do team of the week every single week. And if you didn't put two and two together with team of the month, it is the end of the month coming up. And we will do the best players of the entire month all around the field. So fun episode, fun week ahead. Michael Wacha of those Kansas City Royals that keep creeping up those power rankings is coming on Wednesday. So be on the lookout for that. Wednesday's episode, Michael Wacha. Really, really fun guest, fun conversation. Just did that interview with him, and I'm excited for everyone to hear that. That is a really cool one. And then our usual, we got a Friday episode. We got Saturday with Smoltz. Good week ahead. A lot of fun. Good episode. Good.
Get
good
some show. Aloe for your face.
Okay.
It's toasty. He's wearing makeup.
We're gonna
end
the show.
Doesn't look as bad for you guys right now, but
Alex
in real life.
Alex is going to flip a bat over there. She's going
to
time it a little bit better this week. But we're done.
I got you, though.
We're done with this Monday episode. Enjoy the week of baseball. We'll be back Wednesday with Michael Wacha. Thank you all for listening or watching wherever you listen. Make sure you follow, subscribe. That really helps Spotify, Apple, wherever. You can also watch everything we do on Spotify. You can watch on YouTube and follow us on TikTok. We want 100,000 followers. We're getting closer and closer. Follow us there. We put some really cool stuff there. So that does it for this Monday episode. Thank you all, my friends. And remember, until next time, find your bat and flip it.